Our Father, we come to you again tonight and thank you for this precious book. Lord, I've cut my teeth on it for 57 years, and I thank you so much. And I thank you for the privilege to preach it and give me that ability to do it till I draw my last breath. And I thank you for this prayer, John. Pray tonight, Lord, because you've covered a lot of things we've been studying, looking at, and certainly necessary in these days. And I pray you give me liberty and give me power tonight. And may we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, because that's the only thing that really matters in studying this book. And Lord, we pray you give us what is needed in this hour. We'll leave, be better than we came, and we'll have an outlook on this world a different way because we have your outlook. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're talking about regeneration tonight. And of course, we said, first of all, we know you have to be born again before you could even do anything for the Lord. And being born again is to put us a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the birth part. That's where the seed of God comes, and that's where we're born in the family of God. We've heard that over and over. But regeneration is the step that starts after the new birth. And in the regeneration, it's actually through this we are entered into the kingdom of God in access of what we're doing in our lives. God has put us and let us know, and we've all seen in John 3, which I would mention the fact that Jesus said, except man be born again, in verse 3. He cannot see the kingdom of God. We know that. And then he also said the second time after the question was made, and just remind us, he said, verily, I said to thee, except the man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he said in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, I mentioned that a number of times, but tonight I want to rehearse for over in this particular word because we're going to move to another word. But I have to understand what I am before I got saved and what I am after I got saved is found in that verse 6. Again, he made this statement, he that is born of the flesh is, tell me, flesh. Now, that's the thing by itself. That means I came into this world and everything I did was learned to conform to the world. From the day I was born physically and on to the day, before I got saved, the world had attached to me, and if you got saved the same way, everything you learned was to be conformed to the world. That means that Satan was using with knowledge in the flesh that's fallen that it has to do with fashion like the world. And I have to understand, as I think about this closing, go back, and remember in Romans 12 when Paul said about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, in verse 2 he said, be not conformed to this world. That has to do with that which is flesh. That means Paul said to the child of God now, if you can read between the lines of some degree, you have been conforming to the flesh ever since you were born physically. You've been fashioned according to the flesh. And not only in Paul's day, but in our day, we all have been fashioned according to the flesh. If I don't get that, I'll never get what God has done for me. But he said at the same time, but be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You cannot be transformed or renewing your mind without being saved, because you have to be saved to receive the Holy Spirit of God. And because it takes the Holy Spirit of God living in us to transform our minds, we cannot do it by ourselves. So that helps me understand that from the day I was born physically to I got saved, I was being conformed to this world. That's all I knew for 19 years. That's all I knew. I knew a little religious trip here and there, but it was just in and out. If I liked it, I liked it. I didn't like it, I didn't like it. But I kept my own pace as far as the flesh was concerned. But September 27, 1959, I was born into the family of God. Didn't understand at all because most people don't. You hear me say when you first get saved. But I was born into the family of God. That is, God gave me his spirit. And from there, after the birth took place, there is a process as a regeneration. And look at me in 1 Peter chapter 1, and let the Bible just kind of speak for itself. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look down about verse 3 through 9. Here's what Peter says. In verse 3 he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. That is, since before begotten has really birthed us into the family of God. Begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, what is that? He's given us to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's where that's at, reserved there. That's where we're going. But it has nothing to do with now. There's things in this life that we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, which in turn helps us know what God says to do. I'll give you an example. Recently, the statement was actually made that the person was talking about Old Testament, New Testament. God says in the Old Testament, and he said, I'm in the age of grace, praise God. I don't have to worry about the Old Testament. I have to worry about the law because I'm saved and it don't matter what I do to live. And my question is this, if we're saved and it doesn't matter how we live and what we do, then why are we going to have to give an account to God before the beam of seat of Christ? Why are we going to stand before the judgment of Christ? I ask myself questions and get answers, and that gives me edge because if I got to stand there, I got to find out why I got to stand there because I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't have to worry about the great white throne, but I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. I'm not going to be judged by what I conform to the world because that was judged at Calvary, but I'm going to be judged that I have not been transformed by renewing my mind. And here's what God has said. I should be transformed by renewing my mind to know what is that good and perfect will of God, so I can be conformed to what God wants me to be as a child of God. So he can fashion me like a child of God. So my life would be something different than it was before I got saved. I didn't know that when I first got saved, but I know now after 57 years of the Lord, I found out that everything God is teaching me to show me that the world can't see me like I am on the inside unless they see it on the outside, ladies and gentlemen. And so that's what we're seeing here now. This transformation is through regeneration, we also enter into the kingdom of God. And regeneration causes us to live a life of divine righteousness, which is imputed to us from God's righteousness. That is, his righteousness imputed to us. And there is a righteousness of life that pleases God. And there's an unrighteousness that does not please God. And he goes on and talks about his divine love. And here he talks this. He said in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last day. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, in your heaviness through manifold temptation. And all of us have that. And as you get older, the more you have. Unless sometimes a tragedy hits along your pathway in early life. Wherein ye rejoice, greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Why does God allow that? That the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, that it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Oh my, what's going to happen one day when Jesus comes and we appear before him? And many things since we've been saved, God begins to reveal where it was true or not true. This Bible was written for the child of God, not for the lost. The gospel was written for the lost. But this Bible was written for the child of God. And there's information in here. We're not even hitting the crush yet. What are we going to give an account to God for? Well, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be some heads hung when we stand before God one day. There's going to be some heads hung. And God's going to wipe away some tears at that time. This book is written for you and I. Now, as I look here in John again, he talks about being born again. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So there's two births here, physical. And he talks about the first of water, except maybe more than the spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so most people look at that as natural birth. We've heard said that before. And spiritual birth, you've been saved. Now, the thing about it is this, though. Learning what he said. Go back down with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. I think we hit that last week. I'll read it again at this time. Look in chapter 2, verse 29. And I want to quickly hit a little bit what we hit last week to lead where we're at to see here. Months ago, we studied Romans chapter 6. And there's a reason for that. In Romans chapter 6, we went over it slightly. Now, when we come where we're at to where we're at now to the point of regeneration, new birth and new regeneration, we're going to go back to chapter 6, and you should understand it more what God has said, because at that time you were moving from where you were at to the flesh to what been redeemed would be in chapter 8 of the book of Romans. But now we come back and we started studying other facets of the Word of God, and then we begin to talk about word study. Now, word study is what can help us put these things together. We study book by book, verse by verse, sometimes chapter by chapter, sometimes a book by itself. And it helps us to understand, but when you begin to study some things and you get them in kind of categorical places, then word study can help you tie them together. And word study of regeneration is going to help us tie it back to Romans 6 tonight, would help us to understand what it is we're to be doing that the world can see that we're saved. And so here, if you look at 1 John, he says that if you know that he is righteous, and you know he is, right? He's talking about Jesus Christ here, go back, right? If he's not, we might as well leave right now. He's righteous. He has the righteousness of God. And he says, again, he said, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. And we talked about that. And if you look in verse 7, he said, go back to verse 6. It says, whosoever abideth in him, sin if not, whosoever sinneth, hath not seen him, neither hath known him. And we said, you look at the word doeth, you look at the word abideth, you look at the word committed. The word itself means practice. It's setting forth that you have been redeemed to the family of God, and if there's a lifestyle of practice, it will either be by the flesh or it will be by the Spirit. It's by the flesh that has been conformed to the flesh, has no spirituality about it at all. If it's born by the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit lives in us, will check things. And if a person's lifestyle doesn't change, they're not born again. They're just not born again. Because the lifestyle would change. What the Holy Spirit would do, individual things that happen. Now, it might be that early as a child of God, we have a lot of things we don't have together. But after periods of time of growth, when you do something that breaks the law of God or breaks something, the Holy Spirit will quickly prick your heart about that. And it can be confessed and put in the blood and go on. On the other hand, if it's not, God may speak with a small voice. Then he may speak loud with some calamity. But what he does, he says he does it for us. He's concerned for about us. But on the other hand, if a lifestyle is not changed, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way in this world that that person can be who they say they are. Because if they are, the Holy Spirit has no power at all. Has no power at all. As you go through this, watch what he says. Little children, let no man deceive you that he doeth righteous or practiseth righteous, even he as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. He that practiseth, his lifestyle is of the devil. You won't never look at anybody who's even saved and won't have occasion once in a while due to ignorance or maybe just because they blew it. Just because God says something wrong in the Old Testament and we say we're under the age of grace don't mean that God says the law is just as strong against the child of God as it is the unsaved. Did you know when God says something in the Old Testament that he has not changed in the new because he made it better, that he's the same today as it was before we got saved? It means the same thing after we got saved. That's right, brother. It means the same thing. Has to. If not, then we're going to have some serious questions one day. So God has taken the sting out of sin because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he said, this is not like the world. You don't have just religion. You don't have just another belief. You have that which God implants in your heart, and that's a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes in to help us out with that line. And so look at me, if you will, in 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4, he said, whosoever committed sin transgressed against the law. That's true. Everyone who practiced that sin transgressed against the law. By the way, to break the law transgressed against it too. But God has redeemed us from the curse. Can you see how it goes together? You say, well, that be the case. If he redeemed us from the curse of the law, how can breaking the law be sin anymore? It's sin. And he said, who committed sin, that is practiced sin, is showing that that person can't be saved if he continues to live in sin. And what happens is this. The Holy Spirit helps us break the curse of the law. To know that if we fail somewhere or another and the Holy Spirit pricks our heart, we have a great truth in 1 John 1:9 that we confess our sin, knowing faith is just, forgive us our sin. And when we do, we forsake that sin, move from that sin on to serve God. I say, I'm not helping much, but I'll tell you, it helped me and it helped you if you listen. Because see, I've not only been teaching this, I've been learning in the last few months. And now tying it together at the end to see what regeneration really means. Look with me in chapter 5, if you will, in verse 18 and 19, and notice what John says again. And I love these things, bro. This helps you grow. You know, thank God I can study about death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you preach that all the time, and some people say, well, I know that. Why don't you move something else? And then you get to something that really can help us to grow, and they say, well, I can't understand that. And the reason for it is we're not seeing how to put it together. And I've got to say, many years, I did not until the last number of years until God began to conduct the dot for me. Notice what he said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. First of all, he said in 1 John 5 and verse 4, he talked like, he said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That tells me this, I have in me the potential to yield to God and do and overcome this world. Therefore, that world which I brought with me, which tried to conform me now, even much so as it did before I got saved. I brought it with me, but I have a victory in Christ Jesus. And if I do what I need to do scripture-wise, I will defeat that to some degree, and my life will live more for God the older I get in the Lord than it did before, the years before, because of knowledge. Then notice, if you will, down in verse 18 and 19. He said, if we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, that is practiced not sin in the sense of a lifestyle. Go look the word up. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, there is his practicing, keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. The difference is you don't practice that in sin, but you practice that which in turn helps keeps us where God would have us to be able to use in this world. And then he goes on and he says in verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. A person who goes back and conforms to the world after they're saved, don't think the world lies in wickedness. Wickedness is something that's not tolerated as far as God's going to punish wickedness one day. We were there, but ladies and gentlemen, we have been born into the family of God. And then notice he goes on and says, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us understanding. I love that. He's given us understanding that we, the child of God, made in him that is true, and we, the child of God, in him that is true, even the Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true and the eternal God. And so the words where it says sin, if not, it means one does not keep on missing the mark in his relationship with God as a lifestyle. He just doesn't do that. He's like the Proverbs said, that the just man will fall seven times, but he'll get up because God's heart, God's spirit lives in him. Don't overestimate. When the spirit of God's in us, folks, we get saved. The Bible says greater is he in us than he's in the world. How in the world can we think that if we're saved and the Holy Spirit living in us is greater than he that's in the world, that the world can overcome us unless we let it? The difference is we have a choice after we're saved. And I'll prove that to you in Romans chapter 6. And I want to go back and look at what we read a few months ago, and I think it'll make a lot more sense to you. Think about now who we are. We were born of flesh and flesh. We have that, conforming to the world till the day we got saved. And afterwards, some degree, some people are saved, still conform to the world to some degree. Did you know, be not conformed to this world as much as command is from Paul, from the Holy Spirit, as it was Moses in the law, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal? You ever think about that? Isn't that amazing? It's just as strong as one of the Ten Commandments, because it's a command in the age of grace for the child of God. And then he says, but be ye transformed. How in the world can that be? Well, let's look in Romans 6 again, and we'll pick this up and hopefully finish everything up. Notice, I want to go back in verse 10, and we're going to read down about verse 23, and watch how Paul developed. This is as Paul's preaching this message himself, and a little comment's made in between by me. I want you to notice, verse 10, for in that he died, talking about Jesus Christ, he died under sin once. I believe that. I'm not looking for Christ to come back to die again. Can you tell me why? God accepted the gift. God accepted it, didn't he? When he took the blood, it was accepted, and he sat down. So I'm not looking for Christ to come back again. So I understand that he died once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, he liveth now unto God. Why? He's there making intercessions for us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Now, if he has to make intercessions for us as a child of God, what's wrong with us? Why would he have to make intercession if we don't have nothing wrong with us? It's not the new creation that's wrong. It's the flesh that's still trying to be conformed to this world. And that's when he said this battle is going on all the time. And the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes, which brings the pride of life that John tells us about, is greater to the flesh than to the spirit. The only thing that can help us is to yield to the spirit to overcome the greatness of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. That only gates that Satan has to come through us in the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, which brings it when they're practicing the pride of life. And when a person gets to a place they yield to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, then the next thing, the pride of life, is that they really don't see God in perspective. They should, because he don't really mean a lot to them. If he did, he'd be revealing what it means to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And it covers a big territory. But notice, like he first said in verse 11, likewise. Now, he said who Christ was here. Likewise, reckon ye, count it so. Reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means if you're saved, you're alive unto God, and he has taken hold in you, and you have a power you didn't have before you were saved. There's not a one here saved can't say no to sin if you want to. You say, I could do that before. No, you couldn't. Or you can make you say, think that. Next thing you know, if you come around and lust for the flesh or whatever it taught God us, we fell right into it. We justified it because most time unsaved, we say, well, if 7 billion people on the face of the earth is unsaved and there's 6 billion 500 that's unsaved and, 500,000 that is saved, that I'm better off with the 6 billion 500 than I would 6 billion 500,000 than I would be the last 500,000. You justify where you're at by the majority. If so and so did, here's the thing. If they make it, I'll make it. Nobody make it outside of Jesus Christ. God help me. God don't let me die without exalting you, because he's the only way a person ever be saved. And then Paul goes on, he said, let not sin. Now once he said, likewise recognize you yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Watch. Just in case someone misunderstood, he said, let not sin therefore ring in your mortal body. That is, rule you, dominate you. Practice, let there not be a practice in your life. Don't dominate you. Let not. You know, when I read that years ago, didn't get it, but I get it so more now. He said, and his son, listen, don't you let this happen. Lord, aren't you going to take it? No, I'm going to help you, but you're in a process now of making decisions for me, not against me. Before you were, up to the time you were saved, conformed to the world, you was making decisions against me. You didn't even know sometimes you'd make a decision against me. But every time I came in any form or fashion, whatever reason you put me off was a decision against me. Now, son, you have the power and the word of the Holy Spirit of God to let you understand how you can please me and not make decisions against me. And then he goes on. I'm talking about now putting this together of understanding what it means to be regenerated over a period of time. Sanctification sets us apart for something. But generation is that in turn which goes on and causes us to live a life, right? Because we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And not only do we find that, what is it? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's how the regeneration helps us as we grow to comply to the things that God wants us to do. Notice what he said then. Let not therefore sin ring in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You've got a choice that you can yield yourself to me. If you don't know the scripture, good Bible study, good church where it's preached will remind you that you need to understand there is a righteous living, and those who believe he is righteous must learn that righteous living. It's not that it's our righteousness that gets us to heaven, but it is something that people can see if it's like it should be to say, man, if I ever get saved, I want to have what that person got. I want to be that way. I don't be dissing myself every way possible. And the fact is, knowing that no matter what may happen, there are going to be some black spots. You can put the light of God, gospel against any, the word against any of us, and there'll be some black spots. But I guarantee you, those who are really born again and live from God, it won't be a lifestyle. It won't be a lifestyle. You'll see somebody sometimes, and we see that a lot of times. You see somebody sometimes does some things, and they're children of God, and they come back and say, I don't know if I'm, I just don't know what this is happening. I don't know how to deal with this. And you can go through the scriptures and show there's two places to go. If you're not saved, there's a place to go. If you are saved, there's a place to go. If you are saved, there's a place to go to ask forgiveness. And I've seen many people leave us at times to say, thank God Almighty. I was confused. I didn't know what happened. A child don't know. But we should be growing in grace and knowledge to be able to know what has taken place. And then notice he says, neither you your members as instruments as sin, but you yourself unto God as those alive to the dead. Hear your members since it's the righteous God. Then watch this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You know what it means? It won't rule you. There may be some places you had because you didn't know or because you were weak, because Satan found a weak spot. But it won't rule you, because once it's manifested out, the Holy Spirit will bring a broken heart to our spirit and our heart in the sense that we come to God and say, Lord, please forgive me, because you understand salvation was important when we got saved. But, ladies and gentlemen, fellowship is really important if you are saved. Amen. Even a dog recognizes that. You ever seen a dog do something? You get on his case, next thing you know, he's down, boy. He's about as humble as he can get, right? Yeah, did you ever seen that? And you speak to him next time, and boy, he recognized the voice that's there. And he recognized that something's wrong. You think the Holy Spirit's going to let us dabble in something when he's laid it out in the Word like this for us? I'm saying again, he goes on and he said, for sin have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Now, this is what this person was saying. But since I'm not under the law anymore, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord for that. Then it really don't matter how I live. No wonder God told Hosea, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, God has left us amazingly. And talking later, the person did say a little bit more about it at the time. And then he goes on, he said, what shall we say? We're not in law, but in grace. But he ends that. He said, God forbid, away with that thought. Don't think that. Then he said, know you not, or don't you know, you could say, to whom you your servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey. Then he tells how, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now, before you were just sin unto death and didn't know it. But now you have the other side, which is the righteous side. And notice what he says, but God be thanked. When he told them that, the two sides, whether sin and death, whether obedience or righteous, God be thanks that ye were the servant of sin. That is where you were when you were being conformed to the world, not saved. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That means there came a time you got born again and obeyed from the heart. And in that situation, now God has not only moved you from being conformed to the world, but be ye transformed over you in your mind. Isn't it amazing? You're saved in the family of God now. But son, be ye transformed now from here till you get home, that ye may prove. What, Lord? Sometimes in this wicked world and what people believe, how can I prove? Because who knows if I got the right? I don't even know whether I have the right word or not. If I don't have the right word, I can't prove it. But he said to be proved, that we may prove what is the good accepted word of God. And so he tells us that here again. I speak after the manner of men. He said, be made free from the sin, you become servants of righteousness. Then he's noticed, he said, he speaks as a matter of man. I like that, because of the infirmities of your flesh. He's understanding where we're at. For as ye have yielded your members servant to uncleanness, and that's where you are before you're saved, to iniquity unto iniquity. That's where it was, just worse, worse, worse. And then he goes on, even as so now ye your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Wow, what a statement. We have a righteousness in Christ, but there is a righteousness of sense that has been obedient to God, which leads to holiness. The more we change and develop into Christian character leads to the goal that God's going to have us holy, even to the place where Christ has made us righteous in Christ. And there can be a holy living now. And what is obeying God? If not a sinless living, there can be a blameless living. That's where 1 John 1, verse 9 comes in. And the Bible talks in places that we're to be blameless. In fact, the scripture tells us when Jesus comes back and appears, we should be blameless. You know what that is? That means we're packed up, ready to go. How are you packed, ready to go? Every sin confessed. Be sure you got it covered. It don't mean he's going to miss you. It just means that when he comes, you will be blameless. And yet, what Christ has done for us, if we're truly born again, one sin that a child of God commit is not going to keep us out of heaven, because Jesus paid for it. But it may cause us to lose a reward. I believe this. Thank the Lord for the thought. I believe if the Lord come right and our hearts appear before God, we're going to rejoice going up. Well, I believe if there's any sin there at all not confessed, there's going to be, though in the rapture, there's going to be an only some type of feeling of that till God lets us know it's clear. Because sin cannot be clear for the child of God in the sense of fellowship until it's confessed. It cannot be cleared in the sight of God as far as human beings unless it's paid for, and Jesus paid for it. When you and I got saved, our sin is paid for. But you can't have fellowship like you should until it's confessed. And hypothetically, I don't know. Who knows? That may be one of the places where God wipes away tears. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just going to be different when we see him than it is sitting here. It's going to be different. Notice the last thing he goes on. He said, I speak out the matter of men because of the infirmity. Then he said, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness, and all you did was conform. That's what stuck back again to the world. That's, you look, read between the lines. You were free from righteousness. Anything goes. Most of the time, government or society may put a little cramp on things, depending where you're at in society. That all that matters. And we are people who practice our life. Did you know? We practice who we are. We practice who we are. An unsaved person will end up practicing. It may be some worse than others. Some may live higher than others in the sense of that didn't get along in society. But we still practice who we are. And when we get child of God, God has said the same thing. We're to practice who we are. Thank you, Lord. I bless your holy name. He said, when you're servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But what fruit? He said, now, since you have been free, what fruit do you have in those things wherein you are now ashamed, for the end of those things are things death? But now being free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit into holiness and to everlasting life. And he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So regeneration is part of the birth which the work of new creation begins. Sanctification sets us apart in the growth where we can grow. 1 Peter 2 talks about, we're on the sincere milk of the word. And then also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, talks about with the growing grace and knowledge of the Lord. So to start with, we're in the sincere milk of the Word. And Hebrews tells us we ought to get off the milk, though, and get on the meat. And therefore, Peter says we're the growing grace and knowledge of the Lord. That, in turn, helps us not be conformed to the world, but be transformed in you and our mind. But also, when you think about what's happened to us, quick regeneration in Christ changes the disposition from lawlessness and godlessness and self-seeking, according to Romans 3, 19 through 18, unto one of trust and love. It changes us into repentance for past rebellious, being rebellion and unbelief. It changes us to a loving complaint with God's law, which enlightens our blinded minds to discern spiritual realities. God's law becomes precious to us because we know it helps us understand what God wants or don't want. Before, it condemned. It was a curse. But now, God's removed the curse and we understand what it does for us. And also, the born-again person is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, listen to me, folks. Close the thought. No person who is dead in trespasses and sin can prompt the new birth within himself any more than an infant child, listen to me, can induce or cooperate in their own procreation of birth. You and I had nothing to do with our birth. We didn't cause it, but what did cause it brought us into this world. You didn't decide it, I didn't decide it. It did not have one thing to do. We had not one thing in physical birth to do with it. Somebody said, well, I did when I was born going through the birth canal. No, that was natural to do that. That's how you got in this world. And one person did say that one time. Well, you know, I really want to have my mother and daddy came together, but I did, when time to come, I did come through the birth canal. No, that was a natural thing to do. You didn't even know one thing about that. If you did, you'd make history and make a lot of money. Amen. But anyhow, what we're seeing is, and that's when he talks about which is born of flesh is flesh and which is born of spirit is spirit. So John insists that there is no regeneration that does not issue in spiritual activities after one has been born again. And after you've been born again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, he said this person does righteousness because he's righteous and he will do some righteousness. We won't be as righteous as we will be when we get in the glorified body, but there'll be those signs. 1 John 3, verse 9, verse 5, 18, he talks about they do not live a life of sin, a practice. And so the present tense here indicates habitual law keeping, not absolute. That is, there is some things that we do, and in time we don't know, and that we know who Christ is, and so we habitually do things, sometimes not even knowing, or maybe didn't know it because and did it because we were weak at a moment. But it's not an absolute thing. That is not something that is a lifestyle to do day after day after day, year after year, month after year. Because if we don't get checked by he who lives in us, he don't live in us. Boy, that's security in it. I think so. And then he says, now I know this, God's word involves faith which renews the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. And I close that at thought. It's the word of God that provides the faith for regeneration so that my heart change will continue to be changed through the day God gets me home on the other side. And Peter put it this way, he's kept by his word. It's the seed of God, which is the word of God, that brought the birth. And it's that powerful seed there. If I get the birth, if I get the birth, don't get religion, don't turn over, don't miss it because someone misled me. Paul warned about this age. We live in a very informative age that gives misception and gives false information and stuff. And that's another thing coming up in the future. We look at some of these others. And Paul warned about that and told us to be sure that we didn't get caught up into that because those people are not ministers of God. They're ministers of Satan. And yet they're clothed in sheepskin. That's the way he puts it for us to understand. He's talking about they're not, the value is not there as far as the child of God is concerned. So tonight, as we look at regeneration, what a wonderful word. I spent 3 or 4 weeks on it. But now, you see, in starting out where we went and now tied together, he showed us my life, if you're saved right now, you're still in a regeneration period. You're constantly being transformed and you're in your mind. And may I say, and I close the last sentence, believe me, what he said, be not conformed to this world, he said, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and accepted will of God. Why is that? To prove what is that good and accepted will of God. And it, as a child of God, is to conform us unto what God wants us to be in Jesus Christ. And that's what we are. Father, I thank you again for the blessed word, Lord. And I pray that you honor yourself by it. Thank you again. As these words come to us and we begin to study them, we're going to see a great Bible section in each one of these. And Lord, when we get through this, we'll be to take these words that we studied and tie many things together that God, the Holy Spirit, will give us assurance in our heart who we are. This world will hate us more. They'll try their best to destroy you more. But Lord, thank you so much to know the only one that any of us has to please is you. And we do that when we try to teach the Word of God. Help us, dear Father, as we leave this place, that people would see. Reason we try to witness to people. Reason we do our best to try to stay within the laws, but realize sometimes we have to step outside of the law when He forbids us to do things. It's because you have given us something that the world knows nothing about. That's the love for people to try to reach them for the Lord. To put our lives on the line. The way we talk, the way we live, the things about us, to try our best to be that vessel that God can use us to shine the light of the gospel in someone's heart so they can become a light bearer as they trust Christ as Savior. Please help us honor you in every way possible. Please do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.